No one knows better how to embrace life's challenges than today's guest, Rachel Cadones. Overcoming her own adversity of being widowed at 31 years old with a 2-year-old daughter, Rachel wows audiences with her down-to-earth, current and relevant presentations, helping attendees to reach their potential by embracing and learning from all of life's complexities. Having worked in management for Fortune 100 companies, Rachel is fully aware of the seesaw created when personal and professional challenges collide. Rachel has been speaking passionately to national audiences of all sizes for 20 years, addressing all aspects of change, growth, and acceptance that comes with embracing life's challenges, those expected and unexpected. Through her books, Living with Loss, One Day at a Time, and Grief in the Workplace, Rachel offers a wealth of knowledge, inspiration, and practical advice for those who have lost a loved one or are supporting someone who has lost a loved one. Please join me in welcoming Rachel. So hi, Rachel. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so happy to have you.
Robin, it's really fun to be here. I can't wait for the next 30 minutes. I've been thinking about it all day.
Okay. Well, I am lucky enough to know you, but not everybody who's listening does. And so my usual intro conversation question is if we were lucky enough to meet you at a cocktail party and I were to ask you about yourself, what would you tell me?
Wow, that's a hard one. Because, you know, you don't want to share your whole life if I just meet you, but you also want to share enough about you that intrigues the other person. And I would have to say that I am a jack of all trades and a master of nothing. Although, Robin, you may disagree, but that was how I would present it.
Master of nothing? Jack of all trades. Really? Let's try that question again. Let me reframe it. You're an author. You've written some books. You're a speaker. You are a mother, you are a wife, you are an amazing friend that I know about you. So tell me a little bit about what you write about, what you think about, and if we were to have met and you were like, I like her, I want her to know a little bit about me, what would you want me to know?
So good question, as I said earlier. You know, by background, I'm IT telecommunication, which is really on, off, black, white, 1-0. And I don't know, I got into that field because I was so logical. But then when I experienced a personal tragedy, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute, I just kind of changed and I went more towards the empathetic side of that. You know, we all can't, it's not what happens to us in life, it's how we deal with them. And that turned me into being an author, a speaker, and, you know, I'm an athlete. And even during COVID, I went to EMT school because I knew I could help out in some of the ERs. And, you know, so it's always, I'll just call myself a learner. So if I were to meet you at a cocktail party and you would have said, or you do say, or what, however you phrase it, and say, Rachel, tell me about you, I would just say, you know, my number one thing in life is learning, asking questions and learning. And obviously that's you too, because you're asking the questions. Tell me about you.
Okay. All right, my friend. So you mentioned that, you know, you started your career way back doing IT, but then you had a tragedy. Is that something that you're comfortable in telling us about and how that might have impacted who you are and where you are today?
Well, 100% impact of where I am today. But I will say, as I tell you about that tragedy, I will tell you that I think it shaped me into who I want to be and not necessarily what I could have been. I don't know, because you only know who you are now. But it definitely gave me some insight into what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. So very young, my husband was 32, I was 31. We had a 2-year-old and he walked out of work one day and he just dropped in the parking structure of his job. He was arrhythmia, a tremendous athlete, missed a heartbeat and didn't recover. And he left me with a 2-year-old, which gave me a path of that I needed to find. And, you know, coming to you and speaking to you today, all these years later, is part of the path that I'm on, is providing insight to others and that empathy card that I feel that I don't know if I ever had, but I sure as heck have now. That, and I just want to be out there and give hope and help people with challenges. And, you know, that's what I've written a couple of books about that.
Okay. So tell us a little bit, Rachel, how are you out there and how do you give hope? And tell us about the books you've written.
So how am I out there? You know, I get a lot of questions because I started a grief and loss center and people would say to me, Rachel, why do you want to do that? Like, why do you want to listen to people's stories all day long? And the answer is because I can. You know, there's times where I'm driving home from the loss center and I pull into the garage and I turn to the back seat and say, you guys just stay out here tonight. I'm going in, but it's going to be 55 degrees in the garage. It's okay. You'll be fine. And then I'll come back out in the morning. Obviously there's nobody in my car, but it's just that you have to just push it aside for a minute. And I just have found that I call it the human factor, although that might be too scientific the way I say that. I just think the human person is just, you know, just needs to be heard and felt and understood. And, you know, I try to understand them the best I can. And that's what I'm doing now. And, I've written a book, Living with Loss One Day at a Time. And then I just feel like we can't change what happened to us, but it's up to us as individuals to figure out what to do going forward.
So this podcast is called Mindful Conversations because my mind is so full of things I've heard, read, or seen. And you've just mentioned the book that you wrote. What's the name of the book?
Living with Loss One Day at a Time.
Living with Loss One Day at a Time. And so tell us how living with loss one day at a time might be something that could impact somebody going through loss and what could fill their minds and their hearts.
So to think about loss, we sometimes think of it as devastating and the words grief, mourning, and bereavement come in. But a loss is forever. And when we have a timely death of like a grandmother, it's sad and we just really miss them and all that. But we're not as knocked off our feet as if it's an untimely death or just some kind of true tragic death. So my book, Living with Loss One Day at a Time, is about living with this loss forever because you can't bring this person back, or if it's a pet, whatever it is. That's why I call it living with loss, not living with death, or not time bound. It's 365 what I call lessons and loss, lessons and thoughts in loss. Every day is a different subject. Sometimes they're just analogies of in and out of something that I think of. Like one day I might talk about, you know, you could sit on the couch and eat bonbons and watch really bad TV. But other days you have to get out of the house. And another day I might suggest having one meal today outside the house. You have to get up, get dressed. You have to go. You have to pretend it's fun. And then you drive home and say, oh, that wasn't so bad. I'll do it again. So it's just different thoughts. Whole concept of it is that you're organically working through your situation by just analogies and thoughts. No religion, no preaching, no, just, you know what, this is life and this is what we have to do.
And so where did all of that come from for you?
So running a grief and loss center, I ran work groups for every week for so many years. And I love peer support because I believe peer support is there's a little bit of understanding, nothing about counselors. I'm just saying what I like is peer support. And a lot of the programs that I'm involved with, the national organizations are mostly peer support. And I listened to people for so many years. And every night I go home and write a note about what I learned. And what I learned was they didn't want to be fixed. What I learned was they don't want to be told, when are you getting over this? And what I learned was they just needed to figure out how to live each day. And that's why I just wrote ideas. And then when I got this contract with this publisher, when I pitched the idea, I really had to come through with 365 ideas. And I just, it didn't take much because it's just simple life that just some days you just need to listen to the waves go in and out and just know that every time they go out, you take some of your pain. And every time that new water comes back, it brings you joy. Like there's just, you just have to think of life as it, you know, there's a lot left when you lose somebody. There's a lot to live for.
And so how long ago did you write the book, Rachel?
That one was written it was published in 2013. I'm happy to say that it's done far greater than I ever dreamed it would be. And I think a lot of it is because it's no offense to anybody. I think because it's not religious and it's filling your mind. I had to do a play on words there. Filling your mind with just ideas that just make you feel full. Oh, I could do a commercial for you, Robin.
Oh, look at
filling
that.
Filling your mind so that you feel full.
Well, I think that that is sometimes what we need, because we can't often think for ourselves when we are experiencing loss. So what a gift you've given to folks who don't even know where to begin to think about it.
Right.
Or to think about how to feel about it.
And that's the key, is they don't even know what they want. Mm. And so how I got into writing so long ago after my husband died, I wrote an article, Don't Ask, Just Do, because I was really burnt out on people being very nice to me and asking what they could do for me. However, I didn't know what I needed. So I just wrote this article, Don't Ask, Just Do. If you see something, do it, right? If my lawn's getting long, cut it. Even if the boy's coming next week to cut it, you know, whatever. And that went, whatever viral meant in 96, that went viral. And that's what got me just thinking, okay, it's all about ideas and perspective. And you have to figure out those ideas and perspective. Nobody's going to do it for you. And until you do it yourself, you just don't know. You just got it one step in front of the other. And of course, you're going to take, when you take two steps forward, there'll be a step back. But it's what you do with that step back that really matters. Oh, I got you quiet, Robin. I've never heard you quiet. It's great. It's great.
Well, I was just thinking about something around how you wrote it back then and all of this wisdom that's come for you. And I'm wondering if there's something that's come to you over the last few years, or let me rephrase this, has it taken you someplace else that you might not have, how can I say this? Let me rethink for just a moment.
Well, I might be able to even help you out. So if I were to say, like, where did this book, like, am I surprised of where it's gone and what it's done and what was my goal and has it reached my goal? Is that kind of where you're going on it? Because I'll answer that anyway. Is that I don't know. I'm following the river as it flows.
Mm.
You know, sorry, I'm just.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was a person who I was with, so businessy and so, you know, information technology and 1-0. And as I said earlier, on off, all of a sudden this changed that and it made it a little gray and it brought in the number 2 and I had to get a dimmer on my light and all that stuff. So what it's done is it said, okay, that 1 year, 3 year, 5 year strategic plan you had for yourself, maybe you don't need that anymore all the time. Maybe you need it for some things and not in everything.
Oh, and so how has that been for you to?
Good question, right? For an A-type. Actually, it's pretty good, because I just feel like, I just feel sometimes that when I used this expression earlier with you, was that some things just don't move my meter. Like, there's things that don't bother me anymore that used to bother me before. But now it's like when you don't have control of something like traffic, I have no control over traffic. And hopefully I have a phone in my car that I could call and say, you know what, I'm going to be late. There's things that we don't, this summer has been the hottest summer on record. There's, you know, we just have to deal with some of that stuff.
Okay. Rachel, so you have a lot on your mind. I know you. And we talk about a lot of things. And one of the things I'm wondering is, what's something that your mind is currently full of?
Wow. Okay. So my mind is currently full of whether or not I have a different book for a different day of, it's Finding Peace One Piece at a Time, What to Do with Yours and Your Loved One's Possessions. And my mind has been full with how to get to, and I'm not saying market, but to get the philosophy into some people's minds that don't let your children have to clean out and downsize and right size you. So I wrote an article recently on the art of downsizing and right sizing, and that's made a flood of new thoughts for me. So my mind is full right now of where I want to take that, not necessarily from a business perspective, but from how to bring that out into the world so we don't wait to the last second. But I know we'll do a different podcast on that. But my mind is full of constant ideas of how softening some negativeness or perceived negativeness. Like anxiety, bring the anxiety down.
And is there a way that you bring the anxiety down that you can share with us that might help us bring ours down?
Good question, because if somebody was listening to this and really knew me, they're like, oh, Rachel, you're full of anxiety. No, yes, I think there are ways to do it. And it's when it's not about you and you know it's not about you. When something happens, you can look at it a little bit differently. And that's probably my downfall that I'm learning most about myself, is that someone else's behavior towards me or the situation isn't because of something I said or do. And that's the thing that I'm working on most, to bring down anxiety. You know, people that have an untimely death like I do, and I work with these people all the time, they think that people are mad at them, especially their living in-laws, you know, like that whole situation, that they're doing something wrong with the kids. They're really not. It's just that the insecurities that come with possibly the news, possibly the weather, possibly, you know, other, what other people say and do. So to answer your question, what I try to do, what I'm working really hard on, is that things that happen around me aren't always directed to me, and that I shouldn't take them personally.
Mm. You know, it's interesting that you should mention that, because a friend recently experienced a tragic loss. There was a suicide, and the grief and sitting alone in the grief has been incredibly difficult for her. And one of the comments she made, which really struck me, was she was honest and she said, I have a little resentment because life has gone on for everyone else. And here I am sitting by myself in my grief. And that really struck me. Is that something that, when we talk about anxiety or we talk about not taking things personally, can be tied into understanding when one is sitting with their loss?
Well, in her case, and I don't want to, you know, generalize her, there's a lot that goes on around it that she can't answer. And why should people understand how to be in her shoes? I wouldn't wish that on anybody, and nor would she in her, you know, when she's feeling right. Is that it's awful, and that all of us that try to surround her, you're right, they're going with their own lives, because we can't possibly imagine what she's going through. So her anxiety, we'll use that word, I don't really love that word, but her stress and her breathe, you know, just trying to breathe around her situation, is, it's awful. And so it's really one day at a time. Thus, I wrote the book, Living with Loss One Day at a Time, because until she gets her arms around, wow, not only is there a suicide, but not only am I, you know, my relationship to this person, there's just so much stuff there that is just unbearable. So it only can be one day at a time. And if she could get up and find some peace in something, again, I talked about two steps forward, one step back. If she could get some peace in something, you're right, it's going to lower somewhat of the anxiety, because you put a little more logic in, and then she could think a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's,
well,
a mess.
One of the things I'm going to put in the show notes, everyone, are links for Rachel's books. So maybe what I need to be doing is sending the book as a gift, Living with Loss One Day at a Time. Maybe that would be helpful. And maybe we can all be thinking about how we might be able to share a copy as a way of showing up.
And so, I do thank you for that little shout out. But I will tell you that I was even surprised as the author. It's written in a way that it's 365 different pages for each day. But there's a space at the bottom of the page. And what I didn't realize, that people would use it as a journal. You know, we're taught as kids not to write in books, but in these days, you own the books, right? And even if you buy a Kindle copy of it or electronic copy of it, is you could still write notes in it. And that was the one that it caught me by surprise, how people were able to take the concept of the day and write what they're thinking as they read it. And the other one that I didn't know was that it was going to become a dinner conversation for families at dinner, because they could talk about the idea rather than coming home from school or work and saying, how are you today? You know, it's just started a subject. Like one day I talk about playing hooky and going to a movie, and a mom wrote me an email and said, you know what, you've been great for dinner tonight, because we said if we played hooky tomorrow and went to a movie, what movie would it be would we want to go to? And then the next day was follow-up of, what do you think Dad would have thought of the movie if he was with us? So it brings a good conversation.
Mm-hmm. I like that. All right. So we're talking today about loss and living with it one day at a time. And next week, I want to come back and I really want to jump in with you. And I think everybody would be super interested in the second book you've written, which is Finding Peace, P-E-A-C-E, One Piece, P-I-E-C-E, at a time. Having just gone through helping my own parents, both sets, downsize and not waiting until, God forbid, the day comes, it's really given me a lot to think about. And I really think you're going to have a lot for our listeners to think about as well. As we all age and we all have so much stuff, and how do we parcel through, for lack of a better word, or figure out what to do? I'm just sort of putting that out. Don't answer. Because okay. I want everyone to come back next week and let's talk to Rachel again about finding peace one piece at a time. How do you think about, how does that sound, Rachel?
It sounds great. And I can do a little teaser.
Okay.
And I call it, and there's two things, pieces with it, and we'll talk more about it, is that you want to do this now because you want the story behind some of the items. You do. You want to do it ahead of time. And I have two questions that I could ask anybody that you're, if you're, let's say with you, Robin, that you're helping with maybe a friend. I have two questions to ask, but if they want to know what those questions are, they have to join us next time.
Oh, I love that. Rachel, you're terrific.
There's suspense.
All right.
That's suspense.
I love that. It's a little suspense, everyone. Okay. So let's shift gears, if we can, to one light thing, just to play a little bit, and then we'll wrap up, and we'll come back again next week. But one of the things I like to do with folks, Rachel, do you know Dan Pink?
No, should I? Are you putting me on the spot?
No.
Okay.
It's just a question. We're so Jewish. What? Am I supposed to know something I don't know? So Dan is a great guy that I follow. And I'm going to talk about this in a different episode, but he's an author. He's a business writer. He's just an all around good guy. And he is actually part of a podcast that a friend just turned me on to that I'm going to start to share with everyone as well. It's called The Next Big Idea. And he does it with Malcolm Gladwell and Susan Cain and Rufus. I can't remember Rufus's last name. In any event, more on Dan Pink another time, but I always link to Dan Pink. And he has this ritual where every morning he does a question from Deep Talks Daily Questions. And they are 365 intriguing queries that are generated using artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence is a big conversation in our house right now. And so I like to ask my guests if they want to play along and just pick a question just for fun to see what we might learn about you that's a little bit different than what you've just shared.
Okay.
Want to play?
Yes. Oh my God, I feel like I'm on Jimmy Fallon, how he has his games. But no, I'm with Robin.
I said Carol Merrill last week, and I think I completely dated myself.
Okay. So well, Jimmy Fallon is still on TV, so I don't feel so old.
I should only be Jimmy Fallon.
And you know what? I should only be his guest. So there we go.
Okay. So pick a number. A random number between 1 and 365.
23.
Okay. Question, how apropos. Whoa, I'm really digging when people get these questions. All right, here's your question, Rachel.
Uh-oh.
Are you really in control?
No. No. Is that the question?
No to the question?
No, to my really in control question. Wait, is that the question is, am I in control?
Yeah, the question is, are you really in control?
No, I'm not. And I want to believe I am. Like, I feel like I have control of my house. I feel like I have control of anything that I can control. What I don't have control of, and I don't like the word control, by the way, I just like have a grip. Let's use that as better, because control just seems like, you know, you want to manage everybody. But what I feel like is that where I lose control is when I can't predict the response of somebody else, or I'm waiting for somebody else, you know, like when it's involved with other people and I feel like I'm not in control. In my own computer that I'm looking at, for the most part, I'm in control. For, like I said, my house, I'm in control. It just that you don't have it when it, and I don't want it necessarily when I'm interacting with other people. I just, you know, like, you know, you and I talked about people that not returning phone calls or supposed to be on a phone call and aren't available when you know, they're supposed to be on the phone call. So am I in control? strong word. I'd like to look at a thesaurus and see what a different word for control means, but I understand what the question means.
Okay.
Are you in control, Robin? Am I allowed to ask it back?
You are not allowed to ask me back. This is my podcast. And okay. If you want to ask, you have to have one too.
Oh, I don't have a question in front of me.
So, Rachel, as we wrap up, if you want listeners to remember one thing about you or one thing about what fills your mind, what would you like that to be?
So I joked at the beginning of I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. I really like to not say that I'm not a master of anything, because like you said, I'm an author, I'm an athlete, I'm, you know, a national speaker, I'm an EMT. You know, I mean, I've got like things that I do all the time that I find my mastery as much as I want to master in them. But if I were to say that who I am and what I'm doing, it's all about learning. And I don't necessarily think that I have to do something with what I learn, but I try to understand everything around me. Part of that is probably by that I am a little bit on the logical side, but I just like to understand. I don't may not agree with what's happening around me, but I like to understand where it comes from. And I think that brings down, as we chatted earlier, anxiety, but I also think it brings to the point where you have tolerance for other people and you don't judge them. That's what I work most on. So if you were to ask me one thing about me, it's probably that I just try to learn and understand what's going on around me too much, probably. You know, I try to put too much logic to subjects that can't have logic. Like my husband always says to me, how can you like question that when somebody does something in a terrorist act that you're like, how can they do it? And he's like, since when are you thinking like a terrorist? And I go, okay, true. But I mean, I just try to understand about, I have these two words that I like to use all the time, is to try not to be judgmental and have tolerance for people, because we don't know what happens behind their front doors and we would be fools to think we do.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's good for all of us to remember. We talk about that a lot. You just never know.
You never know.
And that's a whole episode. But we'll stop there.
My mind's full. Is yours?
My mind is so full. I have so many questions, but I know we only have so much time. So I am going to thank everyone for listening today. And then join us again next week. We're going to talk more with Rachel. And we're going to talk about finding peace one piece at a time. And trust me, everyone, when you listen and you hear that, you may not have experienced the loss in the moment. We all experience loss, and Rachel's book can be helpful then. We are, however, all in some control, I will say, around how we manage the stuff in our lives and in the lives of those we love. So tune in next week and let's hear how we can have a little teeny weeny sense of control. How about that? Good?
Excellent. Thank you for having me, Robin. So fun.
So appreciate talking to you. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.